Happy New Year's, guys. This is episode 17 of Those Suma Guys. Getting up there, almost into the 20s here. Mike Herman here with Sean, as always. Sean, how you doing?
Not too bad.
Go ahead.
I like this one.
Yeah, today's episode, we're going to get into a big thing that everybody is thinking about right now. A lot of you may be out there making a New Year's resolution or have a goal in mind for the new year, for 2023. And so we're going to talk a little bit about setting goals, what's a good way to set goals, setting specific goals, and then how to make lasting habit changes. And there's like essentially six steps that we're going to go through on how to make go from step to step and making these lasting changes. Sean, where do you want to start us out here?
I think it's probably, it's just a good time of the year. Everybody, like you said, has the New Year's resolutions. I think it's always important to kind of outline, kind of like when it goes into like changing behaviors or certain things, it's kind of like, just understanding what it takes to succeed at those pieces of making change. Like, how do you truly make that, lasting change that you were talking about? There are elements of change that kind of, I think, really go into this that people always need to kind of take a look at. We can get into more specifics later. But like, if I were to kind of quantify it in three pieces, it's kind of like your readiness to change, your barriers to change. So kind of like, is there anything stopping you from changing? And then what is the likelihood of like a relapse for that behavior? Maybe it's nutrition based, maybe it's, physical activity, whatever it may be. But it's kind of like understanding those three pieces to really make sure that you can succeed at that. And if like your barriers to change of like, there are so many things stopping you from changing that, like, trying to reel it in a little bit and make kind of what we'll talk about later, a smarter goal.
Yeah. I would say a lot of people right now are ready to change. A lot of people are making that kind of, they brought some awareness to maybe some of the things that they haven't been doing so well in the past, and they're ready to make a change. We were talking before we hit record, a bunch of people have come up to us at the gym saying they're ready to make some changes, in their habits. And usually they're health based. So when they're coming towards us, we'll talk a little bit about that. And maybe we'll talk about common barriers as well.
Yeah.
As we go through this.
And I think we can even hypothesize what those specific changes that people might be making, as like a little broad stroke, and kind of maybe use those as examples of like how to use that specific, maybe it's nutrition based and like the steps that you can take for that exact thing. We can do that later too.
So, okay. Yeah. I talked about it in a previous episode. I think it's relevant now too. Very similar steps, but awareness, intention, and action. I think I mentioned that before. Like, you become aware of an issue, you set this intention, which everybody is doing now, with resolutions and that kind of stuff. And I think the missing part is that action piece. or maybe not missing part, but maybe, they set too big of a goal, or maybe it was a little too vague or too broad, and set themselves up for failure. So we can talk about that.
Yeah. So, it's funny. A line I always use, it's actually from I think it's a Disney movie. No, you know what it is? It's a Marvel movie.
Appropriate.
Yeah. But it was like, damn, it really works. It's like, if you aim at nothing, you hit nothing. And I always really like that. I'm like, that's a perfect kind of short little blurb about like exactly what we're talking about today.
So, yeah. You want to get into the six steps first?
Yeah. So it's essentially like a trans theoretical model that was like made in the 70s. And it was used for you know, in the context of trying to understand and get people to quit smoking, but then it worked, you know, for everything really, nutrition, exercise, any of it, you can put whatever you want in this, like in these six stages, and it still works. But yeah, it's like stages of like change model is essentially like stage number one is like pre-contemplation of change. Stage number two is contemplation of change. Step number three is preparation or determination. Step four is action, which is what we talked about just a second ago. Step five is maintenance. And then stage six is relapse. So, you know, it is this stages of change model. So relapse has to be on that because of what it is. But, you know, it's trying to stay that off as long as possible. And I think this is where when we get into more specifics about like how to set better goals is like to make sure that relapse doesn't happen or doesn't happen for a very, very long time. Yeah. And then Mike, if you want to, we could start with the stage number one and kind of I think the importance of outlining these things are just so people can understand and maybe put themselves on one of these stages if they truly are trying to make a change. And like, we can talk about strategies of how to get out of that stage to the next one. So that stage number one is the pre-contemplation stage. And this is like the earliest stage of the whole thing. And it's really just like, people, you know, you're not really considering a change just yet. So this is like that denial or like ignorance of the problem type of stage. Like I'm not eating poorly, like it, but deep down you kind of know you are.
Yeah. You just haven't quite accepted it. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, I'm sure you've worked with people that are still kind of at this stage. They want to make a change, but they don't want to admit.
Maybe a little ignorant to a better way possibly.
Yeah. And then it's, you know, it's trying to like strategies that you can use, like really simple is kind of like trying to rethink your behavior, right? This is that stage where you want to, like you're really taking that inward look, you know, inside of yourself to figure out or maybe admit, right? First step is admitting you have a problem type of thing. And it's like, you know, analyzing yourself and your actions that you've been taking. And then like, even like to some degree, it's like assessing risks of current behaviors, you know, like if it is something that you live an unhealthy lifestyle, like what are those health risks that I'm kind of associating with and kind of going down the road towards in so many ways, you know?
Yeah. Maybe in this stage too, it might be a good place to mention this, maybe even considering what's important to you, you know.
Yeah.
How important is your health to you, for example? How important, you know, what are you prioritizing? You know, is your family, is that number one to you? Is your health, where is your health in this? You know, things like that are common you know, for people to set goals around, and just, you know, making sure that your actions are lining up with what's important to you.
Yeah. I think it's also, it's important to say, like in this stage, you really kind of, this is where people, you know, you feel resigned, to just where you're at, like your current state of life and like that you have no control over your behavior. So maybe it is like that binge eating, and it's kind of like, that's where you kind of are in this stage along the model.
Yeah. I think, you know, one thing that Katie and I do that might be prevalent to this as well is we sit down at the beginning of every year and we go through and we, you know, look at where we're at right now. And we try and look inward a little bit, like you're saying, like it could be valuable in this if you're in this stage to take a look inward and just be honest and truthful with yourself and just, you know, see where you're at. And like I said, decide what's important to you and decide, you know, based off of that, where you want to get to. And it could be a good way to start like planning for this, you know, for this year and like what you want to get to for these next stages that we're going to talk about.
Yeah. Well, and then on that note too, is like, you know, heading into stage number two, which is like the contemplation stage. So this is now where it is doing exactly what you just said. It's like, you know, you've taken that look inward, you know, you've understood those risks, or, you know, the, maybe like the loss of control and that you need change or whatever it is. And now you're starting to become more and more self-aware of the benefits of changing, right? Like you really, you take that step of like, wow, if I do change, like my life will get better, right? Like there is the kind of a, what's the word, ambivalence of like changing, and it creates like a kind of a conflict of emotions in a way. It's like you're now coming to terms with the whole thing, and you know, it's a really important kind of stage. And then this is like again, it's still early on, and I think that this is a really important one, because this is actually where a lot of people never make it out of, right? Like this is the stage that people will stay in forever. They know they need to make a change. They see these pros and cons of behavior change. They are confirming the readiness and ability to change or whatever. And that's it. And then it's like they get lost after this stage. And I think this is like the important one that I think a lot of people can relate to. And it's like, you know, the feeling of what do I do now? Right. And I think when we get into the more specifics later, it'll be easier to kind of really show what ways we can kind of get out of this stage most effectively. But yeah, it's a big one for a lot of people to get into and out of.
Yeah, I see a lot of people that I work with stuck in this stage, like you mentioned.
Yeah. And it is, it's a, especially, I think for us specifically, like between nutrition and physical activity, you know, you see it daily where people want to make the change. They know everything that is going to come their way when they do make the change, but then it like kind of peters out.
And they might even know, like, they know they need to eat better, and they might even know what that looks like. And they might they know they need to work out more, and they, you know they need to do these things. You know, I feel there's so much information out there right now. A lot of people kind of know what they need to do.
Well, and when it's even that, I think like when we get to the later stages of like number six is like relapse, it's like, maybe it's these people that have done it before.
Right.
And they know what they need to do. They know how to do it. And it's like, what's stopping them in this stage again from doing it again? Or, you know, how do they get back to this point is like a big one.
Nice.
Yeah. Would you say that now, without getting to the other ones too quick, like this is the one that you see the most of?
I would say so. Yeah. Yeah. And like you said, like people that relapsed and got back to this stage and got stuck here again, multiple times over, you know, getting stuck in the old same routines and same kind of ruts that they've been in, for years.
Yeah. And, I would agree. Like, I think, this is, you know, through the decade that you and I have been in the fitness industry plus, this is the one that I think I've heard people be in the most. And I think that was also why I ended up really liking kind of learning more about behavioral change stuff, is like, it's so, you know, it's so poignant to everybody, including like you, me, anybody who is trying to change something. Like, everybody understands this stage of everything, right? Because maybe they've never made it past this or whatever, but everybody's been here at some point when they've been trying to fix something.
Yeah, we all know this stage. All right, and then what was the next one?
All right, the next one, stage number three, is preparation, right? Or like determination, we can even kind of use. And this is like the stage where you've now understood everything, you've now taken that inward look, and it's like, now it's, you're taking the actual steps and maybe experimenting with smaller changes. And maybe it is something like just eating more fruits and vegetables, right? Or something like that. It's not really, it's not super specific. And it's just starting to really make sure, like, you're, you know, writing down goals. You're doing stuff that's actually preparing yourself to change, right? You're, this is like, again, that, like using the word determination, like you're actually really getting determined to change at this point, right? Before, it's like, yeah, you don't know, you don't want to admit, then you're like, I do want to change. This is like full, you're full on board of like, this is, I'm like going to do this,
researching things and like, actually like coming up with what you're going to do specifically, like buying that, you know, weight scale, like food scale or something, so you can start measuring your fruits and vegetables, like actually taking some little steps towards it. Okay.
And it's a, you know, it's a big one, because this is where I think that you and I and Katie, Crystal, anybody who's in the fitness industry can actually help out the most. This is where we can finally step into this person's, you know, journey a little bit more and actually start to cultivate their goals a little bit better. And maybe even, you know, hold their hand a little bit more. And I think it's an exciting stage for people to get to.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So then once they kind of start taking these small steps and, you know, they're kind of dipping their toe in the water, then what comes next?
Now it gets into stage number four, which is full on action. So this is, you're taking direct action towards that goal, whatever it may be. You know, you're in full swing of, you know, you have a grasp of your nutrition. You have made full big steps as far as changing your nutrition. Maybe it's exercising more, whatever it is, and you are fully committed to it, and you're actually,
you're doing it.
You're doing it. Yeah, right. Exactly. This is the stage that everybody wants to get to, right? Like, you are now, you're doing the thing you set out to do way back in the beginning. And you're now, you're really trying to accomplish your goals. And I think this is also a big one, because this is going to be where, like, most the previous steps kind of maybe get rushed too fast, right? Maybe they try and just like skip over the first three things and get to this stage because they already know what to do, yada yada yada, all that. And this can often be where it also fails too, right? And this can be like what we're going to talk about later, of making, you know, better goals and smarter goals, and not like going 0 to 100, right?
Yep.
Because again, we want to talk about like, how do we keep this going? And it goes directly into the next stage. But this is an important step for people to get to, and also to start to, you know, really get the thing moving forward. But it can be a hard step too, based off of how fast you got through the first three.
Yeah, maybe you skipped some steps and didn't set up yourself for success, like long-term success. You didn't lay the groundwork well enough.
Well, and I think that this is too, this is a step where, again, it's like reinforcement and support for those people and for that goal that they're trying to do become extremely important. Just in helping like maintain those positive steps, right? Because now it's like they need to be almost celebrated in the way of like, they've done it, they've started to change this. And, you know, externally, they still need that motivation and kind of support in continuing this piece. And that can be really hard, depending on your support system.
Yeah. Nice. And then, is that the last one? There's one more.
There's two more.
Yeah, there's two more. That's right.
Yeah, two more.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Stage number five, then it goes into maintenance, right? So this is where we get to. Now, we've hit our stride. You've taken those actions, but you've kept those actions going, right? You've been able to do it now for a couple of weeks, a month or 2 months, whatever it may be. You can help yourself avoid temptations in this part. Like you're now fully involved in this thing, and it's more long term and not just, you know, day one that you've changed those steps. You've been into it a lot longer now, which is always good. This is the part that like you definitely want to get to. And I think this is the part that can be shorter or longer depending on how you've laid out your goals too.
And would you say that this is the part where like obstacles and stuff become the most prevalent? Oh, yeah. Or maybe, yeah. I mean, I guess they could pop up anywhere, like pre-action during when you're starting or even in this phase, but.
I think, well, at this stage is like when people become more assured that they'll be able to continue to make change, but it's like, then it gets into what you just said of the, you know, are you putting yourself in situations where you're going to have those hurdles and kind of obstacles back in the way of like making it harder on yourself? Are you getting yourself in the best situation where I make it as easy as possible? I'm avoiding those temptations in a way. But also like, maybe not like, I don't want to, you know, say that it's like cutting stuff out completely, but it's just being like smarter, right? And this is also a stage where you're starting to develop coping strategies for that temptations, right? You're starting to learn more about yourself and how to change and avoid things, and creating strategies really for avoiding those things. But you know, you can always fall back into it, a la the stage number six.
Boom, right to it.
Yeah.
The one that everybody kind of knows, relapse.
Yeah. Stage six is always relapse. Like, again, it's a part of this model. It needs to be. But again, depending on how well you take your actions and maintain and follow the steps prior to it, that relapse could be a day. It could be 6 years. It could be never, right? It could be for the rest of your life. It doesn't matter. It's always just that stage that, you know, if you don't do certain things, you'll fall back into, or it's like, if you make unrealistic goals, you'll fall back into quicker. Right. And you know, when you look at characteristics of this, it's like, this is where people start to feel disappointed in themselves for doing it. You know, you feel frustrated, you get that feeling of like failure. Right. And then it goes all the way, cycles back to that pre-contemplation stage of like, now I'm out of control. I don't want to admit to myself that I did that or whatever. So it's also, I think, a very important stage though, because say it does happen, you're able to identify the triggers of why it happened. And also you're able to recognize those like barriers that were in your way to success. So it's like, what did trip me up, and what, you know, what maybe got me to that point of tripping up? And if I do this again and I kind of, you know, go back to the start and do it all over again, it's like, I get back to that stage, to the maintenance stage. It's like, I know for me personally, what those things were that got me back into the relapse stage in the first part, and you can make a better plan for it.
Yeah. Right? Like, so you can almost learn a lot from the relapse phase in regards of like what went wrong, and you could go back to the drawing board and be like, all right, when I, you know, try again this time, and it's going to be better because now I can plan for these obstacles or whatever, you know, went wrong the first time.
Yeah. Like you're almost learning more from your failures rather than your successes. Right. Yeah, like you can learn so much from this stage that will help you avoid it ever again, right? Unless you, again, do certain things that make it extremely hard and you're just going to relapse every time you ever try and make a change because you don't want to maybe identify some of those things. Again, it's going to be super hard. But I think it's an important stage to recognize it along this model, again, because of what it is. And also not, you know, you don't want to pretend like it doesn't exist, right? Like, you need to be realistic in the way of like, this can be a thing that happens if I allow it to.
Yeah.
Right. And it's just being conscious in that moment of like, it can be a thing. Do I want to go back there? Do I not? What's more important to me? Being on this new healthier track, or those things that I were trying to change, that the things I were trying to change way back in the beginning.
Yeah. And just recognize that, like you said, this could be a learning opportunity and not like a failure, you know?
Yeah.
And recognizing that you can learn from this. Sometimes the obstacle is the way, and you know, the way forward. So yeah, I think that's important to note. Just it's not necessarily just something that you failed at. And I think a lot of people think that way when they go into a relapse on a habit that they were trying to fix.
Right. And I think, you know, that failure is such a strong word in people's minds too. And it, you know, it's a, again, when you admit to like quote unquote failure in something, like, it can be demoralizing, especially when it comes to trying to change things or behaviors in certain ways. Like, it's, you know, not to get too far down a rabbit hole, but it's like, it can be a really debilitating thing for a lot of people. And it's making sure that you don't stay there too long, right? Like, whatever, it happens, you move on, you go back, you keep going, right? Bogging down yourself and everything and just focusing on failure can be a terrible thing.
I think, you know, people, if you're listening and you are someone who made, you know, a goal or a resolution for this new year, like, maybe just take what we just talked about, those six steps, and just pretty like recognize where you're at. I think that's important, right? At this point, right? Have people kind of look back to kind of recognize where you're at along the spectrum here. And maybe next we'll take like a little hypothetical situation of some common ones that we see.
Yeah. I think, we'll do the easy one.
Yeah.
We'll do like nutrition. So changing that and like where people end up falling. So what would you say, Mike, if you mapped it out? Like, what do you see the most common thing is with this?
Like barriers.
Well, and even like where people's minds are towards it.
Yeah, I think I see a little bit of both. I see some people, like, I mean, a lot of people want to make changes here, right? It's super common, especially in our spaces and the people that we work with. I see some people that know the right things to do, but have trouble still making changes. And I see some other people that are confused by the marketing and all that kind of stuff out there. In another episode, we cut through some of that noise and gave you some basics. So go back and listen to that if you're confused about the actual information. There's a lot out there. But I think in general, most people kind of know the right things to do and just have trouble making that change due to some obstacles.
Yeah.
What do you see?
I would agree with you, man. I think, again, most people, especially in today's day and age, like, information comes at you at 1,000 miles an hour. And I think most people understand how to eat healthy. They know what is healthy, what isn't healthy. Right. And I think it's like, when we go back to, again, those stages, it's like people get caught in this contemplation stage. Really big with the nutrition one is because it's maybe they know what they need to do, but it's now bridging the gap of like, how do I get there? Right. Or I think people start to focus too much on like cutting so much out so soon. And they make these like unsustainable jumps from one to another, that's where they fail. It becomes too much work. It, you know, whatever, like, name it. It's just, they can't sustain it because they want that 0 to 100 mentality. And I feel like it's a hard one to do. And I think that's where, you know, outside help can always be the most beneficial, especially when it comes to nutrition. I think this is a big one. But yeah.
Yeah. I see people cutting out, like saying, I'm going to cut out all sugar, or I'm going to, only eat fruits and vegetables, or yeah, taking these big leaps, like you said, and trying to do too much at one time. Very common mistake that I see in particularly nutrition, but a lot of other goals and resolutions that I see people make the same kind of mistake, trying to bite off more than you can chew at one point in time.
Well, and I feel like for nutrition too, since we're talking about it, I think the internet is it is a black hole when it comes to this too, because it's, you know, there are so many
fad diets. All good information out there, Sean.
Yeah. but there's so many like fad diets. There are so many people on social medias who are portraying this like crazy lifestyle. And they're like, if you just follow my tenets of whatever, blah, 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 you're going to look like me. And, you know, I think people buy into that too, just from appearance, from like first look. And it's hard to, again, make that step logically from one to another. And then again, they feel lost because they have zero support when they do stuff like that. You know, like when we look at keto diets versus paleo diets versus Mediterranean versus like all these things, they're all so drastically different from each other. And, you know, the term of like, you know, can you do it for the rest of your life? I think is always a thing that people need to kind of remember is like, is this something that you can sustain forever? If it's not, then don't do it. That goes for physical activity too. But I think that's it's a hard one for people to recognize. I think the nutrition is one that people can feel most lost in.
Yeah, I agree. So then somebody wants to make a change. Don't take too big of a goal here. Kind of try and do a little smaller step. Is that what you would recommend?
Yeah. Well, I think small changes in the beginning are always going to be your best bet, right? If you can take the logical steps towards something, and it's not saying like, all right, I want to eat, 200 grams of protein every day. Don't go from 20 grams of protein every day to 200, right? Be like, all right, I'm going to eat 50 grams of protein today. And I'm going to be good at that, getting there, getting comfortable with that. All right, now I'm going to up it to 100 grams of protein a day. Or like, you know, taking...
In our nutrition episode, we said, eat more fruits and vegetables. If you don't eat any fruits and vegetables, don't be like, I'm going to only eat them. How about just try something like start introducing one.
And it's funny because I think, and maybe I'm getting too far off track here, but I think with behavior change too, there's people almost want an immediate gratification with certain things, and they think that if I do make those drastic changes, I'm gonna have bigger results quicker. And it doesn't work like that. You're just going to have getting to that failure relapse stage quicker. That's what's going to happen. Be conscious of what you're doing and try and make those small steps. Like don't go crazy. Same thing if we were talking about, you know, activity. It's like, don't go from nothing in a sedentary lifestyle to trying to work out 6 days a week. Get comfortable with one, then two, then three, and four, whatever. But yeah, take your time. It's like if something happens, like this is for me when I was a lot heavier too. Somebody said to me, like when I was on my weight loss journey, it was like, you know, you get frustrated and all these things, and you're like, you didn't put it on overnight, it's not going to come off overnight. And I was like, all right, that helped me kind of, you know, keep it in my mind and focus on it.
Yeah, reframe what's realistic.
Yeah. And I think on that note, Mike, do you want to talk about how we can make better goals for ourselves?
Yeah, we kind of touched on some of these things before, but yeah, in general, when I talk to people about this, we use the acronym SMART, which people have probably heard before. So it's specific, measurable, attainable.
Yeah.
That's the one I always get confused about. Realistic and time bound. So, you know, we kind of touched on, you know, making it more specific and realistic. So like not this like huge, jump. So that's kind of the realistic side of things. Specific, I guess we could get more into that. Like I hear people say things like, I want to eat better.
Right.
Super vague. But that's probably the most common New Year's resolution that I hear is I want to eat better or, you know, feel better or something like that. It's not specific enough. Like it's too vague. There's really no way to, you know, measure that. And, so you need to try and make it more specific. So something like I want to, I don't know, eat 200 grams of fruits and vegetables a day would be way more specific.
Yeah.
I want to eat, you know, one fruit or vegetable at every meal. More simple and more specific.
Yeah.
In the same ballpark though. Anything more for specific or anything? No.
I think you hit the nail on the head. It's like, putting something that you can go into the M, which would be measurable, right? If you said same thing, like I want to lose weight.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool. Right. How much? 2 pounds, 200 pounds, whatever. But like you need specific goals. I think are a big one that a lot of people don't do. They just want to do those broad strokes. And you can help yourself out so much with the specific goals, because it's like when we go to M and be it being measurable, then it's easy, right? Then it's easier to actually measure your success there and your goal. If like to your point of like, I want to eat 200 grams of fruits and vegetables a day and I'm at zero.
Yeah.
Right. Like I can measure my fruits and vegetable intake every day and kind of be like, okay, now I'm eating 50 grams of fruits and vegetables a day.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. And this needs to be like specific to the person too. So like maybe for you, you do eat fruits and vegetables. Maybe you don't, maybe need to up your protein. So like, you know, it's just going to be, you know, whatever you recognize as the thing that you want to improve on and make it something that you can actually measure. And then attainable. What did you say for attainable?
I think that this is a big one for people because a lot of times they almost make it to where it's not attainable, right? Like if I think I said this to you before we started this, I was like, if I'm like, I want to bench 700 pounds and right currently I'm at 200 pounds, right?
Yeah.
I mean, is that attainable? Maybe.
maybe not realistic,
right? Right, but it's also like I'm at 200 pounds and I also want to bench 700 pounds before the summer. Like that is not attainable.
Yeah,
right. It's making sure that you like, again, it's something that you can actually succeed at, and you're not setting yourself up for failure, right? In the way of, it's just not, again, like you said, realistic.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, yeah, so we kind of touched on that one. And then the last one is time bound. So like the reason behind that, like what I said, Katie and I usually sit down, we plan out the year. So we're putting it kind of in a year time frame. Having that time bound, goal gives you kind of a deadline. It gives you something to work towards in a set amount of time. Like otherwise, you maybe you're just going to keep putting it off and never really get around to it.
Yeah. I think the weight loss one example I'm going to kind of use for this one. If somebody was like, I want to lose 30 pounds. Great. And that's their goal, right? It is specific. It is measurable, right? It is attainable. It's realistic. All of these things, but they don't put a time frame on it. Like you said, they will put it off. And, you know, does that mean I want to lose 30 pounds before I'm retired? Do I want to lose 30 pounds by the end of the week? Like what, like whatever it is. And I think making sure that you do this. So if somebody's like, I want to lose 30 pounds by October of this year, that is a time bound thing that you can also plan for, right? You can have a strategy going into that. And I think that's a really important one. And I don't think that that one is used enough, like making sure, you know, if there's no time constraint to it, then, you know, you're gonna shoot at nothing. Like you hit nothing.
Yeah. So once somebody has this SMART goal kind of planned out, so like, you know, you have everything kind of planned out, that it would maybe be done, you know, before the action phase, I guess, in the determination phase, probably.
In that determination preparation phase, when you'd be like laying these goals out. And then hopefully it's like, you know, you have your support system that you can talk to see if it actually truly is a SMART goal, right? Or if it doesn't align with one of those pieces of the acronym, it's like reworking it to make sure that it does, right? Again, like if it's specific enough, it's maintainable or it's measurable, it's realistic and it's time bound, but it's not attainable, then it doesn't work as a SMART goal. So it's like you would rework it until it fits into the constraints of that whole thing. I still think that it's a really, you know, it's something that people have heard 1,000 times of, you know, using SMART goals, but it works. Like if you truly find yourself on one of these stages, right, you probably either need to do it or have already done it. And, you know, A, it works, or B, if again, you're not making a smart enough goal, you'll stay at that same contemplation stage forever, you know? Yeah. And I think it's a really important thing, because you can plug anything into that. It does not need to be weight-based. It does not need to be nutrition-based. It doesn't, like, it could be whatever. It could be quitting smoking, right? It could be whatever. Drinking less soda. It doesn't matter, but like you can put and plug anything into that thing and it works. It's just, you need the buy-in on the person.
Yeah. So what I do is, you know, after I set that goal, the SMART goal, like I said, I kind of lay out like a year or whatever the time constraints are. And then you can kind of work backwards.
Yeah.
You can be like, all right, this is what I need to do, you know, this month or this quarter or whoever, this week, you know, whatever the time constraints are. You can kind of work through your action plan, which is what I do personally. Like I sit down, I'm like, all right, what do I need to do the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter in order to get it by the end of this year?
Yeah.
So it makes it really simple, because then you can see it and you know exactly what you need to do. And you could even break it down further in that. You could break it down by week or whatever. Like I personally do that, and it makes things so much easier to kind of see it. And then it breaks it down into like more manageable chunks, which is what we talked about before. So it doesn't feel like this big overwhelming thing.
Right. Well, and I think one more thing I want to kind of touch on with this whole thing too, is like, again, when we talk about certain things and like being realistic, like, and we'll use like what you and Katie do, like with your year and mapping it out, right? You're doing that knowing kind of what your lifestyle is too. And I think this goes into the realistic part of the SMART goal, is like, you know, how to keep things realistic, right? If I worked a super high stress job that I am not, you know, I have to do all these other things, and there's all these external like forces weighing me down and doing all of that, and yet I still make a SMART goal, right? It's being realistic then too in that execution. So you, like you said, knowing where you are at a week, a month, a quarter, halfway through the year, full year, it's like, if you're not at those points at that time, it's again reworking your goals a little bit, and making sure that again, they still are in that, in that, that acronym. And I think that that's it, is like, you never have to be stuck to it. You can always, you know, tweak them a little bit if you start to recognize that it isn't one of those things, but it's important to, again, have it. So, yeah.
And what would you say is, you know, people set that goal, they're in, you know, they're going through, they're doing it. What is the best way to prevent going into that relapse phase?
Support, I think, is probably your best bet. If I had to pick one thing, it's probably that. It's like making sure that you have the support system. Maybe it's a significant other, boyfriend, girlfriend, doesn't matter. Family member, friend, gym mate. It's somebody that's recognizing what you're working towards. And then it's that reaffirmation from them. If you ever have one of those down days of like, you're maybe feeling a little bit bogged down, it's like them keeping you accountable too, I think is a really important thing to make sure that goals are hit. And then, you know, if you and I were to do something together, and maybe it's, you know, maybe they're a little bit different, but we're along the same lines. Like, we actually, we'll use this, Mike. Remember, it's like making you squat more and making me do my handstand push-up stuff more every week. It's like that accountability is what ultimately will keep the success going. And then as soon as that goes away and it gets put back only solely on me, and if it doesn't necessarily mean the world to me, I can fall back into those relapse stages. So I think support's a really big, important piece for people. It's like finding a piece of support in some way.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, you could write it down like we do. I think that's a good way to visualize it and kind of see it. And then like what you said, I think not only that, but tell somebody else about it. Like, make sure somebody else knows, not just you.
Yeah. And then one more thing, Mike, I think it's important for people to do, like, goals and SMART goals are super important. And I think it's also important for people to have multi-layered goals. And then kind of what you guys do for the year is what I'm talking about, right? Like, your long-term goal is, by the end of the year, I want to be at, you know, X. Halfway through the year, which would be my medium length goal, is I want to be, again, at, like, you know, Y. And then my short term goal of maybe in a month from now, I want to be at, you know, Z, is all important steps to get to your long term goal. So I think, like, those multi-layered layered goals are really important for people to have. It's important to have a long term goal. It's equally as important to have a short term goal. And maybe it does play into that long term goal specifically, you know?
Yeah. A lot of times our long-term goals, like I said, I'll break it down, write it down to like the week or day. So I know exactly what I need to do that day or that week or that month in order to work my way up to that larger goal.
Yeah.
Makes it so much easier.
Yeah, it does. And it's again, it's not, it's nothing crazy, right? None of this is like mind-blowing stuff that we've been clutching onto and not been willing to give out to everybody. These are the same conversations that we like to have with everybody. And it's just recognizing where you are sometimes and like your willingness to change here. And I think that that's, it's just important for people to know. The first thing that a lot of people need to do is what we started this whole thing with, is like looking inward and trying to figure out what behaviors are you trying to change or you should change, and how do I do that? And then it's, you know, taking the next logical piece and step, going to, you know, figuring out who to talk to about that. Acknowledging that I have that thing, what is the first step I need to take? That's all very big things. And, you know, with goals, if it truly means a lot to you and you like wholeheartedly believe in them, you will succeed at it. But without that 100% buy-in, it's like it's going to be a lot easier to get back to the relapse stage.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I said in the beginning, like making sure that it's something that you value, you know, and it's something that's one of your things that you really care about. I think that's super important. Then, like you said, trying to figure out the first steps, finding good information, good people to talk to about it. Coming up with that action plan, you know, making sure your goal is smart, right? And, you know, maybe layering it throughout the year or whatever time frame you want to use. And then something we talked about too, finding, you know, maybe you write it down, post it somewhere. Maybe you talk to a trusted person about it and, you know, you get some accountability. I call it an accountability buddy.
Yeah.
You know, you like leaning on that person if you need to, and just, you know, having somebody else know about it, I think is important. And then, yeah. Anything else I missed in that recap there?
No, I think, yeah, you kind of hit the nail on the head there. I think I'm happy that we're talking about that, like this whole topic today, just because of where we are in the year, and just in general, you know, what people always have, people always have goals, right? They always will, you always should. Right. And they don't need to be fitness related. They can be, you know, at your work. They could be anywhere, in your family life. It's, you know, they're important to recognize and then also just kind of see for what they are. Right. No matter what facet of your life they have or what they're in. Yeah. And I think it's just really important to kind of to know what these pieces are, and the feeling of not being like alone, or like it's this, you know, monumental task that I need to do.
Yeah, and like we talked about prior as well, I think if you do hit that relapse phase, it's not like a failure. It's just a place to learn, and you know, bring it back to the drawing board, try again. And I think recognizing that we've all been to that, we've all been there. And yeah, you are not alone, like you said.
Yep. Amen.
All right. All right, guys. Good luck changing those habits this year. Let us know if you need any help, if we could be that person for you to give you some good information or a shoulder to lean on. And let us know how it goes. See you guys later.
See ya.